Appendix A. Geographic considerations for maintenance operations. Extreme weather conditions that will affect mission preparation and performance usually accompany adverse environments encompassing a wide range of geographies: desert, jungle, and mountainous terrain. Extreme heat, cold, and humidity directly affect personnel as well as certain components of the systems maintained. This appendix discusses key areas maintainers should consider when operating in different environments. Maintenance considerations for desert operations. Maintenance support for desert operations requires an understanding of the environment. Temperatures vary according to latitude and season. In some deserts, day-to-night temperature fluctuation can exceed 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Desert terrain varies from place to place. The common characteristic is lack of water and little, if any, vegetation. This environment can profoundly affect military operations. Location. Desert locations are seldom close to normal lines of communication. The effects of the environment, extreme heat and sand, on equipment are severe, requiring increased levels of maintenance for readiness. Distances between units and lines of communication are long. Class 9 supply support. Demand for repair parts will increase due to harsh desert environmental factors and the extra maintenance effort required. Units should hold small items with high usage rates as far forward as practical. Typical high consumption items include filter elements, tires, water pumps, gaskets, fan belts, coolant hoses, clamps, sprocket nuts, seals, and wedge bolts. Terrain. Terrain varies from nearly flat with high traffic areas to lava beds and salt marshes with little or no maneuverable areas. Units should train drivers to judge terrain and select the best routes of travel based on the conditions. Tracked vehicles are best suited for desert operations. Wheeled vehicles will go many places that tracked vehicles can go. However, their lower average speed on poor terrain may be unacceptable during certain operations. Vehicles should be equipped with extra water cans, fuel cans, meals, air recognition panels, signal mirrors, and tarpaulin to provide shade for the crew. The harsh environment requires a high standard of maintenance. Specialized support personnel may not be available to perform maintenance. Commanders should train their operators to operate, maintain, and recover their equipment. Some types of terrain can have a severe effect on suspension and transmission systems, especially those of wheeled vehicles. Soldiers must properly ground all power generation and communication electronic equipment in a desert environment to prevent system failure. Items affected by mileage, such as tires, steering assemblies, track wedge bolts, sprocket nuts, and transmission shafts, must be checked for undue wear when completing PMCS. Heat. Vehicle cooling and lubrication systems are interdependent. A malfunction by one rapidly places the other under severe strain. All types of engines may overheat to some degree, leading to excessive wear and ultimately to leaking oil seals. Commanders should be aware of which vehicle types are prone to overheating and schedule extra maintenance for them. Check oil levels frequently. A too high level may be as bad as a too low level. And check seals for leaks. Keep radiators and airflow areas around engines clean and free of debris and other obstructions. Water-cooled engines should be fitted with condensers to avoid waste of steam through the overflow pipe. Crews/operators must keep cooling hoses tight. One drip per second amounts to 7 gallons in 24 hours. They should not remove hood side panels from engine compartments while the engine is running. This causes turbulence and leads to ineffective cooling. Crews/operators must keep air vents clean, or vapors may build up pressure and cause the battery to explode. Voltage regulators should be set as low as practical. Commanders should increase stocks of batteries to offset the high attrition rates caused by heat exposure. Severe heat increases pressure in closed systems and increases the volume of liquids. Crews/operators must ensure working pressure of all equipment is within safety limits and exercise caution when removing items such as filler caps. Some items of equipment are fitted with thermal cutouts that open circuit breakers when equipment begins to overheat. crews slash operators can partly avoid overheating by keeping the item in the shade and wrapping it in a wet cloth to maintain a lower temperature by evaporation. Wood shrinks in a high-temperature, low-humidity environment. Equipment such as axes carried on tracked vehicles can become safety hazards, as heads are more likely to fly off as handles shrink. Crews/operators must take special care of power generation and communication electronic equipment to ensure that they do not overheat. Excessive heat can cause system failure. Radiant light. Radiant light, or its heat effect, may be detrimental to plastics, lubricants, pressurized gases, some chemicals, and infrared tracking and guidance systems. Crews/operators must keep items like carbon dioxide fire extinguishers and Stinger missiles out of constant direct sunlight. Optics should remain covered when not in use, as they may discolor in direct sunlight. It is best to limit their exposure to the sun's rays. Dust and sand. Dust and sand are probably the greatest dangers to efficient functioning of equipment in the desert. Lubrication must be of the correct viscosity for the temperature. The temperature must be kept to the absolute minimum in the case of exposed or semi-exposed moving parts. Sand mixed with oil forms an abrasive paste. Crews/operators should check lube fittings and other critical items frequently. They must also constantly inspect Teflon bearings to ensure that the coating remains intact. Engine maintenance is critical due to the strong possibility of sand or dust entering cylinders or moving parts. Screens against flying sand are essential. They also provide shade for mechanics. Examine and clean air cleaners on all equipment at frequent intervals. The exact interval depends on operating conditions, but should be at least daily. Use filters when refueling all vehicles. Keep the gap between the nozzle and the fuel tank filler covered. Fuel filters require frequent cleaning, and oil filters require replacement more often. Engine oils require changing more often than in temperate climates. Over time, wind-blown sand and grit will damage electrical wire insulation. Crews/operators should protect all cables before insulation becomes worn. Sand will also find its way into electrical items like harness connections. This can prevent electrical contact or make it impossible to join the connections together. Crews/operators should carry a brush, for example an old toothbrush, to brush out such items before joining. Dust affects communication equipment, such as amplitude-modulated radio frequency amplifiers, satellite communication equipment, and keyboards. The latter are especially prone to damage due to their oil lubrication and should be dusted whenever possible. Some receiver transmitters have ventilating parts and channels that can become clogged with dust. Check them regularly and keep them clean to prevent overheating. Soldiers should take special care to prevent dust from interfering with the logistics system hardware computers, in particular, non-standard hardware. Non-standard hardware is often extremely sensitive to extreme environments, including excessive dust that can cause overheating. Sand and dust accumulation may cause weapons to clog or missiles to jam on launching rails. Sand or dust-clogged barrels can lead to inbore detonation. Keep muzzles covered by a thin cover so explosive projectiles fire through the cover without risk of explosion. Soldiers need to cover missiles on launchers until just prior to launch. Working parts of weapons should have minimum lubrication. It may even be preferable for them to be totally dry, as any damage caused during firing will be less than that produced by the sand oil abrasive paste. Blowing sand affects all optics. Their performance gradually degrades due to small pitting and scratches. It is also necessary to guard against buildup of dust on optics that may not be apparent until low-light optical performance has severely deteriorated. It may be advisable to keep optics covered with some form of cling film until operations begin, especially if the unit is near a sandstorm. Store optics in a dehydrated condition using hygroscopic material. Keep those in use in places where free air can circulate around them and purge them at frequent intervals. Sand and dirt can accumulate in hull bottoms of armored vehicles and, when combined with condensation or oil, can cause jamming of control linkages. Sand accumulation in the air bleeder valve can inhibit heat from escaping the transmission and result in damage. Temperature variations. In deserts with relatively high dew levels and high humidity, overnight condensation can occur wherever surfaces are cooler than the air temperature, such as metal exposed to air. This condensation can affect areas on an equipment, such as optics and air tanks. Check applicable TMs and SOPs regarding condensation buildup under abnormal conditions. Crews or operators should clean optics frequently. Weapons, even if not lubricated, will accumulate sand and dirt due to condensation and should be cleaned daily. Air and fluids expand and contract according to temperature. Ensure tire pressures are checked when tires are cold, not recently driven on. Do not exceed recommended pressure as shown in the TM. Fuel tanks filled to the brim at night will overflow as temperatures rise. Check the air pressure when equipment is operating at an efficient working temperature and fill fuel tanks to their correct capacity as defined in the appropriate TM. When using computers, the crew/operator should use special care when using non-standard hardware to prevent heat-related damage to the logistics system hardware computer systems. Non-standard hardware has minimum and maximum operating temperatures that should be observed at all times. Corrosion prevention. Operators, crews, and maintainers are challenged with various weather conditions that will have significant impact on equipment if not properly maintained. One way equipment could be impacted is the development of corrosion on assemblies to end items caused by factors such as humidity, moisture, and dust. During PMCS, soldiers should identify all corrosion faults and annotate them to be corrected. Some metals, like corroded battery posts and weapons rust, can be corrected on the spot. But other corrosion faults may require more maintenance from an institutionally trained maintainer up to the depot level. When performing maintenance, follow TM procedures for proper lubrication, protection guidelines, surface cleaning, and repairing of metal. The TM will illustrate what can be performed in accordance with the MAC chart to repair corrosion on areas where metal is damaged due to extreme conditions from the environment. See AR-750-1 and AR-750-59 for more information on corrosion. Commanders will appoint unit corrosion monitors to perform duties such as ensuring unit training personnel maintain training and performance records for the unit's corrosion prevention and control program, and monitoring the techniques and proficiency of unit personnel accomplishing corrosion prevention program functions. This includes spot checks of chemicals used, proper dilution of cleaning compounds, and proper application of corrosion-inhibiting compounds and water-displacing compounds. The unit corrosion monitor will work with maintenance supervisors, QA, supply, and maintenance technicians to determine the effectiveness of the unit's corrosion prevention and control program. The Army will ensure corrosion prevention, detection, and mitigation practices during sustainment of the five major commodity areas: aircraft and missile systems to include support equipment, C&E equipment, DoD military munitions and associated equipment, tactical and combat vehicles to include armament, soldier equipment and other ground equipment, static electricity. Static electricity is common in every environment to include the desert. In the desert, it is caused by atmospheric conditions coupled with an inability to ground out due to dry terrain. It is particularly likely with aircraft or vehicles having no conductor contact with the soil. The difference in electrical potential between separate materials may cause a spark on contact. If present, flammable gases may explode or cause a fire. Soldiers must reduce the possibility of static electricity by bonding and grounding equipment, including fuelers, generators, and shelters. See TC6-02.6 for more information on bonding and grounding equipment. Winds. The velocity of desert winds can be destructive to large, relatively light material, such as aircraft, tents, and antenna systems. To reduce wind damage, soldiers should use given terrain protection and firmly picket items to the ground. Desert maintenance. Units should establish a recovery and maintenance SOP before, or immediately after arrival in theater. The SOP should include field-level maintenance recovery, expedient repair, recovery priorities by vehicle type, security, and limitations of field expedient recovery techniques. For example, the distance and time that one tank is allowed to tow another may vary considering the heat buildup and transmissions in this environment. The recovery plan should include locations of MCPs for equipment that cannot be repaired forward. These points should be located where they can be reached by heavy equipment transporters, which may require the recovery vehicle to perform a longer-than-normal tow. When considering recovery in the desert, pay special attention to ground anchoring equipment, since natural anchoring material is scarce. Maintenance considerations for cold weather operations. One of the major problems for units operating in cold weather conditions is the lack of personnel with adequate training in cold weather operations and maintenance support. If troops stationed in warm climates move to cold climates to perform their mission, cold weather training is of utmost importance. Soldiers expend significant time and energy in cold weather areas on self-preservation. This reduces personnel efficiency in operating and maintaining materiel. Maintenance personnel must learn how to live and work in cold regions. Location. Operation of materiel in temperatures down to minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit presents few problems. Conditions are similar to those in the northern portions of CONUS during the winter. Operations become more difficult in temperatures ranging from minus 10 degrees to minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Proper maintenance and training will prevent failures of materiel and injuries to personnel. When the temperature is below minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit, operations become increasingly difficult. At temperatures near minus 65 degrees Fahrenheit, the maximum efforts of well-trained personnel are required to perform even a simple task with completely winterized materiel. The effect of cold weather on Class 9 supply support makes handling and storage of materials of prime importance. Supporting transportation delivers supplies as far forward as weather, terrain, and the tactical situation permit. Supply handling requirements in extreme cold weather environments will vary significantly from those encountered in temperate climates. Metals become brittle at extremely low temperatures. Proper storage of parts and electrical assemblies is critical at these temperatures. Parts cannot withstand the shock loads that they sustain at higher temperatures. Extreme care is required when handling rubber-covered cables at low temperatures. If rubber jackets become hard, cables must be protected from shock loads and bending to prevent short circuits caused by breaks in the covering. Neoprene jackets on cables become very brittle and break readily at low temperatures. Parts of tires in contact with the ground during shutdown periods become rigid when cold, causing flat spots. At extremely low temperatures, sidewalls become brittle and crack. Plastics expand and contract much more than metal or glass. Soldiers should carefully handle any parts or materials made of plastic. Glass, porcelain, and other ceramics should perform normally at low temperatures if handled carefully. Direct heat may cause cracking to cold windshields or vehicle glass. Fabrics retain their flexibility even at extremely low temperatures, provided they remain dry. It is imperative that soldiers properly ground all power generation and communication electronic equipment in an Arctic environment to avoid system failure. See TM 4-33.31. Cold weather maintenance. Maintenance of mechanical equipment is exceptionally difficult during cold weather. Maintainers cannot complete automotive and other mechanical maintenance with normal speed because they need to warm up equipment before making repairs. Routine tasks require additional time. This time lag cannot be overemphasized and must be included in all planning. The bulky clothing required to operate in cold weather also reduces personnel efficiency. The resulting loss of the sense of touch further reduces efficiency. Even routine operations, such as handling latches or opening engine enclosures, becomes frustrating and time-consuming with gloves. At temperatures below minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit, maintenance requires up to 5 times the normal time. Complete winterization, diligent maintenance, and well-trained crews are the keys to efficient cold weather operations. The following requirements affecting maintenance planning and preparation should be in place before beginning a cold weather operation. Shelter for materiel requiring maintenance. Proper clothing and tools for maintenance personnel. Ground cover, plywood or canvas, for personnel to lie on under vehicles. Adequate portable heaters. Suitable methods to store and issue antifreeze materials, fuels, hydraulic fluids, and lubricants. Sufficient lighting equipment. Supply of repair parts for equipment. Sufficient equipment for removal of snow and ice. Buildings and shelters. Cold weather maintenance operations often require heated buildings or shelters. Maintenance of many components requires careful, precise servicing. Without heaters, maintenance man hours will increase from 25 to 500% above normal requirements. When buildings are not available, maintainers can use maintenance tents as a temporary shelter. When possible, lay wooden flooring inside all tents. Heat tents with portable duct heaters or tent stoves. In the absence of buildings or maintenance tents, maintainers may use tarpaulins to create overhead shelter and windbreaks. Soldiers can erect tarpaulins on a framework of poles erected around the vehicle. Lighting equipment. Sufficient lighting equipment needs to be available to furnish lights during maintenance operations. Lights with ample cable extensions, attachment plugs, connectors, and spare bulbs are essential. Maintenance personnel, tools, and equipment. An increased number of mechanics will be required to maintain equipment in cold weather operations. As a minimum, a highly organized, more intensive effort is required of personnel on hand. Remember that the amount of work performed under cold conditions is considerably less than work accomplished in the same amount of time in moderate temperatures. An additional supply of battery chargers needs to be available to meet the heavy requirements for battery maintenance in sub-zero temperatures. Hydrometers and testers must be on hand to check the state of charge of batteries. Tools provided in the various toolkits are normally adequate for maintenance at sub-zero temperatures. Fluids saturate gloves worn while performing maintenance on fuel systems and lubrication of cooling systems. This reduces the insulating value of the gloves and may result in cold weather injuries to personnel. Maintenance personnel should carry extra gloves. Personnel should avoid leaning on cold, soaked equipment or kneeling or lying on the ground. Rapid body cooling caused by heat transfer to the equipment or ground may result in cold weather injuries. Place insulating material, such as fiber packing material, corrugated cardboard, rags, or tarpaulins, between the repairer and the equipment. When performing maintenance under Arctic weather conditions, use a box or a pan to hold small parts. Use a tarpaulin under the vehicle to catch dropped parts to prevent them from being lost in the snow. Maintenance considerations for jungle operations. Maintenance units in a jungle environment retain the same basic mission and capabilities as in other environments. However, they need to adjust for terrain, weather, and vegetation. Location. Jungle operations subject personnel and equipment to effects not found in other environments. Traffic areas and security problems often affect maintenance units as much as maneuver forces. The lack of an extensive all-weather transportation network in many jungle areas makes the mission of support units more difficult. Transportation difficulties may dictate that maneuver units be resupplied by air, pack animals, or human portage. Class 9 supply support. Leaders need to identify repair parts that deteriorate or wear out faster in the jungle environment. The shop stock or bench stock must reflect the increased turnover of these parts. Jungle maintenance. In the jungle, maintenance units operate essentially the same way as in other operations. High humidity and temperatures in jungle areas may tax maintainers. PMCS on any items affected by moisture and heat is extremely important. The shop stock or bench stock needs to be increased to ensure responsive maintenance support. Transportation. Maintenance units should consider using all types of transportation. Surface transportation facilities are poor in most jungle areas. They often cannot handle heavy military traffic without extensive improvements. Human portage is a basic means of moving supplies and equipment in jungle operations. However, this method is slow, laborious, and inefficient. Wheeled vehicles are normally restricted to roads and wider trails. However, sometimes even these may prove impassable during heavy rains. Transloading from wheeled to tracked vehicles is sometimes required to transport repair parts. Tracked vehicles are uniquely suited to move the supplies cross-country. In rugged terrain, supplies may require further transloading to pack animals or supply bearers. Fixed-wing transport aircraft can usually operate at greater distances without refueling than cargo helicopters. However, use of fixed-wing aircraft to land supplies requires more landing strips than may be available. Construction and maintenance of airfields in jungles are difficult engineering tasks, but a savanna may be large and firm enough to use as an airstrip. Airdrop of supplies is an alternative to air landing. Airdrop makes deliveries to isolated units possible without further transloading. Disadvantages include the dispersion of supplies, the possibility of lost cargo under the jungle canopy, vulnerability to local enemy air defense, and requirements for locally friendly air superiority. Maintenance considerations for mountain operations. Historically, the focal point of mountain operations has been the battle to control the heights. Changes in weaponry and equipment have not altered this fact. Infantry is the basic maneuver force in the mountains in all but the most extreme terrain and weather. With proper equipment and training, the infantry is ideally suited for fighting the close-in battle commonly associated with mountain warfare. Mechanized infantry can also enter the mountain battle, but should be prepared to dismount and conduct operations on foot. Because of the severity of the environment, maintenance support in mountainous areas can be challenging. Location. Due to terrain constraints, it may be necessary to disperse units over a wide area. Dispersion reduces vulnerability. However, it may cause problems with command, control, and local security. Since support units will be high-priority targets, they should have adequate protection against ground and air attack to ensure continuous operations. Class 9 Supply Support. In mountain operations, rugged terrain and climate extremes may cause increased consumption of repair parts. Transporters should expedite movement of repair parts into and within the combat area. Maintainers should increase the quantity of high usage rates parts within the authorized stockage list, bench stock, and shop stock. Typical high consumption repair parts include tires, tie rods, transmissions, brake shoes, tracks and pads, final drives, and winch parts. Maintenance. Fixing equipment as far forward as possible is extremely important in mountain operations. Leaders need to train vehicle crews and maintenance personnel to accurately evaluate damage to their equipment. Recovery of equipment will be very difficult. Move disabled equipment only as far rearward as necessary to make repairs when recovery is required. Transportation. Vehicles move a large share of repair parts forward, but they are not always able to reach deployed units. Often, locally obtained animals or individual soldiers will be required to move repair parts from roads to unit positions. Whenever possible, use vehicles to move heavy, bulky items or repair parts. When weather permits, use helicopters to move repair parts from the SSA directly to forward units. Helicopters speed resupply operations and reduce handling. They are good for emergency resupply and movement of high-priority supplies. Resupply by United States Air Force aircraft is another option. Maintenance considerations for urban operations. The urban battlefield does not cause significant changes in maintenance doctrine or organizations. Urban environments may affect how maintainers provide maintenance support. Urban regions normally contain a well-developed distribution system, major portions of which are highways, rail lines, airfields, manufacturing plants, and storage areas. Built-up areas frequently provide suitable locations for employment of maintenance units. Such areas offer excellent cover and concealment. They may also contain easily adaptable maintenance and storage facilities. At the same time, rubble or damaged built-up areas may present obstacles along lines of communications. Location. Because of the tactical situation, maintenance units may support from a built-up area. When using built-up areas, protection and physical security become important considerations. Commanders must protect supplies and equipment from enemy attack and theft. Refugees may seriously impede or block movement over routes required by FMTs or movement of equipment to MCPs. Maintenance units may take advantage of hard stands, overhead lift, installed communication systems, and maintenance facilities existing in their areas of operation. Class 9 supply support. In urban terrain operations, the use of vehicle repair parts may decrease as units dismount. Consumption of repair parts for small arms and engineer equipment may subsequently rise. Concentrated operations allow centralized control of repair parts in urban operations. Maintenance. Fixing equipment on-site is extremely important in urban operations. Leaders need to train maintenance personnel to evaluate damage to their equipment. Recovery of equipment will prove very difficult. Maintainers should move equipment only as far to the rear as necessary to make repairs when recovery is required. Transportation. Although wheeled vehicles move many repair parts forward, they are not always able to reach the unserviceable equipment due to rubble and blocked roads. Tracked vehicles can often move repair parts forward over the obstruction. Individuals may have to move repair parts from clear areas to equipment locations. Maintenance considerations for night operations. Night operations use the same organization and require the same functions as daylight maintenance support. Commanders continue to make internal adjustments of their maintenance assets to meet unique situations. Maintenance elements retain responsibility for performing their assigned function. Maintenance deferred until daylight remains the responsibility of the deferring maintenance element. Training. The goal of night maintenance operations is to attain and sustain the same degree of effectiveness as in daylight operations. Intensive night training is a key element in attaining this goal. Such training improves the capabilities of unit personnel performing technical tasks under less than normal light conditions and provides a sound basis for developing a night maintenance SOP. Maintainers cannot perform some tasks under subdued visible light or by using night vision goggles. Maintainers develop procedures for deferring the repairs until daylight hours. Leaders develop procedures to pre-position equipment, tools, and repair parts to allow ready access, identification, and handling at night. Procedures for night movement and relocation stress light discipline and camouflage. Procedures. Using night vision devices, maintenance elements repair and return to service those critical items within their repair capability. Maintainers use night vision devices for tasks accomplished outside. Bulky items or repair parts supply, as well as equipment and tools, are pre-positioned for rapid location, identification, and handling during the night. Where enemy observations may be possible, maintainers can construct field expedient drape-type shelters to hide the light source. Maintainers can also use light-proof shelters with visible subdued light for the repair of small equipment items, such as radios and small arms. They also provide a place to use required TMs. The tactical commander must approve the use of subdued visible light. Maintainers conduct night recovery operations on a case-by-case basis, depending on the tactical situation and the need for recovery of the item. Equipment, tools, and repair parts are pre-positioned and marked for easy location, identification, and handling. Elements should also be concerned with aerial observation of heat and light source signatures. Where required, the supported unit provides security for the recovery element. Support teams dispatched from support elements into areas farther forward should have night vision devices.